now because you're good.
All right, that's right. Well, we're gonna reveal the glory of God through man, and we're gonna reveal the glory of man through woman. Why? Because that's what it tells us in the New Testament. It even says in the Old Testament, it says that a man's wife, an honorable wife, is her husband's glory. Or her, maybe say crowning glory. And then in the New Testament, it says that a woman is her husband's glory. We just think that means like, oh yeah, she's there to like glorify me. She's there to just pamper me and make me feel good, rub my feet and give me something hot to eat. Yeah, Shania Twain has a song about that. Honey, I'm home and I had a hard day. Pour me a cold one. Oh, by the way, right? Rub my feet, give me something to eat, you know, all that stuff. That's a stereotype. But if we look at the word glory in what it means a lot of things. One thing is copious or a copy. See, a copy of something is an image of it. It's not the real thing. All right? Man is an image of God. Adam was both male and female. So what is male and female? That's what you need to understand if you want to understand that what God really is, what we're a copy of. God is male and female. That is a two, that's not a three. However, inside of the two, when they come together, is the three. Why? Because you've got a seed and you've got soil. You've got seed and a womb. And inside the man's body is where seed is produced. What delivers the seed? Semen, seaman. That's what it's saying. There's two waters in the scriptures. They're in the letter M, in the Hebrew letter M. And that word M means water, both kinds. What kinds of water? Water that flows and water that is contained. So the water that flows is the male M. Water that is contained is the female. So God has both. God has flowing water and contained water. Why? Because he's male and female. When those two come together, the ovum and the seed, that's where the two meet and all things are possible there. That's where you have a child. So that's Father, Holy Ghost, and Son. That's what that is. The inside of Adam and Eve, before Eve was taken out of Adam, all three was there. But you couldn't see but one. You could only see Adam at first. If you take the scripture that says it's not good that man should be alone and you break it down in the Hebrew, it would probably take you about 9 pages of words. Wow. Just to break down, it is not good that man should be alone. Why? Because I've done it. Took me over 24 hours to do it. Then I said, God, how am I supposed to repeat this? I'd have to read 9 pages to get to that one sentence. And he said, just follow me. I'll highlight the way to say it. It'll all be true, but you got to put it in a way that man can understand it because it's too big to eat the whole cow. You got to put it in a couple bites. So it says this, it is not our most beautiful best to leave her encamped on the inside of the city. Let us take her out of him, that she might stand before him as his opposite, or his war, or his opposer, or adversary. See, all those are the same word. And that they might copulate or manifest and multiply. So she was already there. Her ovum was already there. His seed was already there. But you couldn't see them. Why? Because they hadn't been divided. If you don't divide something and you don't have an opposite, you can't see it. That's what light is. The different hues of light allow you to see it. If you have all the hues of light in your eye, you'll be blind. So God divided the hue man. You understand that now? Speaking a different language, okay? So he divided it. Why? Because if you don't divide the light, you can't see it. In order to see light, you must have a light and a dark. Adam was the seen part. He's the light part. He's the seed part. He's the word part. He's the formed part. Letters are forms. Okay? So then he took Eve out from the inside of him because that's where she already was. She was the inside part. She was the negative part. She was the dark part. She's the Eve part. She's the opposer part. She's the woe part. What does woe mean? Opposite. And when he took, he said, whoa, man. That's what he said. He said, whoa, man. Right? Mm-hmm. He freaked him out. Can you imagine seeing the first woman and your man? A woman wouldn't probably freak out over that. She knows that's what she is. She's not all impressed with herself. But man is. Why? Because that's his opposite. He had already seen everything else and couldn't find one like him. God took her out. There's still a hidden part. What's hidden? His seed, her ovum. It can't manifest unless what? The two become one. So he said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. How did he know that? How did he know B-O-N-E? How did he know to say bone, be one? Be one of my be one. Do you see in the word bone it says be one?
Oh.
And the two shall become one. And look at come, C-O-M-E. Why? Because it's that, remember that M is both waters? C-O-M-E. It's really a O-N, but it's both of them. Why? Because when they're in each other, it becomes two M's. What is an M? Two N's. Stuck together.
That's cool.
You see? Yeah. People go, Angel, you can't do this with word. Yes, I can. God showed it to me. God revealed word. Why? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. You want to know God, you better know word. If you don't understand word, you can't understand God. This was revealed to me. I didn't like go learn it somewhere. It came to me, sometimes in dreams, sometimes in a cartoon vision in front of my eyeballs while I was driving. The first time I ever saw that, I was driving to Denham Springs, and I'm going to work praising the Lord, and I see the word word written in front of me with out of little bones like Sesame Street. And then they fell into a little pile, went poof, and disappeared. And I went, oh my God, what was that? And the Lord said to me, bones are words, look it up. I'm like, bones are words? He said, yeah, don't you hang on every word I say? Doesn't your body hang on the bones? I'm like, yeah. He said, doesn't my words create emotion or blood in your heart, feelings? I'm like, yeah. He said, guess what bones do? They create marrow. The marrow creates blood. Go look it up, Angel. I'm like, oh my gosh. So then he sent me to Grey's Anatomy book, which there wasn't the movie Grey's Anatomy. So if you're thinking that Grey's Anatomy, wrong Grey's Anatomy. This is Grey's Anatomy from college. And I had never seen that book. I still have it in my living room right now. That was in 1996. Yeah, it was right there on my floor. Why? Because if you study the body, which is how we started this conversation, we're going to look at male and female to understand God. When he created the body, that's his temple. That's his tent. That's his house where he dwells. He dwells in the male and the female. He dwells in the seen and the unseen. He dwells in the positive and the negative. He dwells in the seed and the soil. He dwells in heaven and earth. See, that's all different dimensions of the same exact thing. It's just you don't think of it as the same dimension. If you looked at a line on a piece of paper, you would not think of a vortex. You'd think it looks like an inchworm. You know, if that line's going up and down, you're representing sound. If you're going to draw the sound out, right? It's a little wavy curve. If you could turn that in 3D, it would look like a vortex. It would look like a straw that's got a point on one end, open on the other end, and it would be spinning. Why? Because God's called the baffling wind of God. Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind. Why? Because that's the two become one. What is that? Two opposing winds create a vortex. So male and female are opposing manifestations of the same God. Isaiah 45:7 says, I, the Lord God, form light, and I create darkness. I, the Lord God, make good and evil. I do all these things. Man says, God does some things, and the enemy must have done something else. In John 1:1, it says the enemy is anybody who's tried to enter another way. We say that the enemy is the devil or Satan. Most of the time, that's if you ask people, who's the enemy, who is the thief, or who is the robber in John 10, most people will tell you it's the devil. I'm like, go read it. Go read it. If anybody comes in any other way but through me, I am the door. If you come any other way but through me, that person is a robber and a thief. Go look up that word me. It means toil and suffering. It doesn't just mean Jesus. It means Jesus Christ. It means Jesus the suffering one. You got to come through suffering or you can't reign.
I just read that.
Yeah. So let's go back to the garden. We've got Adam and Eve. First manifested in the Adam. The A-D-A-M and the A-T-O-M are the same thing. They just were all mixed together and you couldn't break them apart to see them. So if you want to multiply something, You must divide it. And God wanted to multiply and for them to replenish the earth. So he divided them. But we think most of the time that division is bad. No, mitosis and meiosis is division. When the sperm and the egg come together, first thing it begins to do after it comes together is split and divide. Divide, 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 divide. Why? It's multiplying. So all this division in the earth right now, man only sees the division part. God is multiplying, let me just tell you. Why? Because there's no such thing as division without multiplication. It's not possible. Right? They both have to exist. In the Torah, the word is bereshit. That means in duality. Where did the word duality come from? In the B. Here, bereshit. Bereshit. It's almost what it sounds like. Right? Bear the covering. Bear the mercy. Carry the mercy of God. Why? Because God has to have a duality to be seen. If you don't see his opposite, you can't see him. So earth is the opposite. It's something you can behold. Look at the word B. That means two. First is the letter A, then the letter B. Letter A is the number one, letter B is the number two. If you look at it, there's two humps in it. It's the same as the M, but turned on its side. It's the same as a double N, but turned on its side, and the number one. And the number one in and of itself is a three. Why? You got a dot at the top, dot at the bottom, and the in-between part. That's how the yud is created. The yud is the tenth letter of the alphabet. It's the fullness of a one. And there's not a single letter in the whole alphabet that does not have a yud, at least one in it. Why? Because the yud represents the positive, the negative, and the neutral. That's what it represents. It represents all power and all humility. It represents the above and the below. And the first time it shows up in the alphabet is in the Aleph. There's two of them. There's an Aleph at the top, a Yod at the top, and a Yod at the bottom, and a Vav in the middle. And even the Vav itself has a Yud in it. Why? Because everything has a Yud. Everything has a positive, negative, and neutral. Why? Because Romans 1 and 20 says, everything that is created reveals the eternal, everything that's created shows that which is unseen, including the eternal Godhead and power, and we're without excuse. So the eternal Godhead and power is positive, negative, and neutral. It's revealed in the number one. It's revealed in the letter Yud. And there's no letter at all that doesn't have that in it. Why? Because there's nothing that's created that doesn't have it in it, including the smallest matter that man can even comprehend, even in the subatomic. There's nothing known to man that does not have positive, negative, and neutral. It's always there. I've challenged people, if you can find it, show it to me. Because I've looked high and low and you can't. It's just not there. Why? Because that's the image of God. That's it. Positive, negative, and neutral. So what have we embraced in the earth? Globally, we've embraced the positive. But nobody wants to embrace the negative, or very, very few people. Even those that embrace the negative, you know what they want to do? They want to observe it to get rid of it. That's like saying, let's get rid of all women. Let's get rid of all soil. Let's get rid of all darkness. Let's get rid of all evening. Let's get rid of all evil. Why? We think evil is something different than what God says it is. We've taken the uncorruptible glory of God and we've made it corruptible, like unto a man, a beast, a four-footed creature, or a creeping thing. Romans 1. And how did we do that? It says you've taken the truth of God and the uncorruptible glory of God, and you, through your imagination, have made it corruptible. In other words, it's not even corruptible. It's your imagination that it's corruptible. Okay, I didn't write that. I'm just showing it to you. So get mad if you want. Just get mad at who wrote it. And then go take it in his face and say something. Or hers, because God is male and female. People aren't going to like that either. I don't mind. I'm made after God. And I'm a female. I'm not confused as to what I am.
That always confuses me. If it made in their image, yeah. Why is it always a man?
That's right. It's not. It's just that's what we've been told. People go, I've never been taught this. I said, who taught you this? Because I know my father didn't teach you.
A man.
Well, it could have been a woman. But the point is, it wasn't taught by God. When I first started getting this, I wouldn't tell anybody. I'm like, this sounds crazy. Why would I want to tell anybody? Because I was still afraid of being rejected. I was afraid of somebody judging me. I was afraid of what somebody might think of me. Well, I lived that life. And I lived it for quite a long time, including I lived it so much that one man that was a paraplegic died a paraplegic with his upper body healed because I was scared of man.
He died?
Eventually he died. He died 13 years later. But if you listen to my podcast, there's a story on there. I'm not going to do the whole story right now. But there was a man who was paraplegic, came in blowing in a straw. I suffered his paralysis in my upper body. His upper body was healed. Then I suffered his paralysis in my lower body. And with good intention, with the people that loved me at the church that I went to at the time, they thought that I was out of order because of the way that I was manifesting the power of God on my body. And so they said, no, you can't touch him. You just lay here. And they were doing what they believed was right and honorable and true. So I'm not criticizing them. But what I'm saying is the fact that happened. Well, I didn't obey God. I didn't follow what God... My legs was so hot and burning so bad that you couldn't put your hand on my leg and keep it there. My husband, I said, feel my leg. I'm telling you, the power's in my leg. Y'all got to let me touch him. Well, I was about 3 or 4 feet from him. I could have crawled. But I didn't. I kept waiting for permission. Permission what? To do what God said. And so now I don't need man's permission to do what God said. Because sometimes I'm going to have man's permission and man's blessing, and sometimes I won't. But if I don't have man's blessing or man's permission, I'm not going to let it stop me. If I hear it in the ear, I'm going to shout on the rooftop. And if nobody's listening, I'll command the wind to take it to the earth. Why? Because God showed me to do that. And I did do that for quite some time because I didn't have quote-unquote permission to preach. But I thought I didn't know that I didn't need it. So back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Male and female. So we look at a male's body, and the male's body is going to reveal the glory of God, the copy, the copiousness. It's going to shine light on, because it means to shine. It means to see. It means revelation. It means understanding. It means all the different glories of God. So if I look at man's physiological physique, I'm going to understand more about God than what I already do. So what does man do? Man's a giver. What does he give? He gives his seed. He gives his life. A man gives everything to his family. He's traditionally, not non-traditionally, but traditionally, he's the one that gets up and leaves the house all day long. He's the one that goes, and I wrote this on my Facebook, he's the one that will climb under the house and lay in everybody else's feces to fix the plumbing. He's the one that will put his hand in a precarious or dangerous place to try and fix something that might cut his finger off, you know, or he's the one that's got to work inside the car, or anything that's hard or heavy weight, he's going to take care of it. He's going to take out the trash. He's going to handle the stinky stuff. He's going to, if it's too heavy, he's going to say, no, honey, let me lift that. Why? That's what God does. He's also your protector. If somebody broke in my house to harm me, I wouldn't say, excuse me, honey, I got this one. No. Can you imagine how dishonoring that would be to my husband if, let's just say, a bad man was going to try and hurt me? And I said, oh, honey, you lay down, take a rest. I got the 357. I'll handle it.
Michael would be like, you go, girl.
Michael would push me out of the way. He would not let me get in harm's
way. But he would still let him go, you go, girl.
It would dishonor him. It would dishonor God if we think we are our own deliverer. That's what man delivers us. Why? Woman delivers him from the womb, but man delivers us from harm. Man delivers us from something that's too heavy, so he's our protector. He also is the one that gives us seed. What? So that we can have a baby. Without him, we can't procreate. We need his seed. Without God, if we don't have his word, we can't manifest. And look, if you think that searching the scriptures to find a scripture that matches your situation is God's will, why don't you remember when God rebuked them? He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. No, that's called witchcraft. When you try to find a certain set of words, any set of words that can manipulate the earth to get you what you want, manipulation and control is as witchcraft. It's called a spell. Why? Because you took words and you hooked them together. When you understand that, and you have a spelling bee, or you have a spelling class. What does it mean? To put letters and sound together to get what you want. That's what it means, to spell something. Well, I came here to bring the ghost spell. Gospel. The good news. Why? Because I am not here to cast a spell on you. I'm here to reveal letters to you. I'm here to reveal word to you. I'm here to reveal frequency and positive, negative, and neutral. Why? Because that's what a frequency is. A frequency is a descend, a ascend, a descend, a ascend, a descend, a ascend, and there's a connecting part. And that connecting part is called a valley and a peak. That's what they are. If you have music and all you have is a bass guitar, how many people do you think is going to come listen? Not a whole lot. You need the rhythm. You actually help the rhythm out whenever you follow the drum beat, right? So that's that low tone. It's real low. Well, then you've got the tenor. That's real high. Do we understand that the low part represents the male sound? Whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't call that female. How does female talk? Female has a high-pitched voice. That's why men tune it out. That's a joke. You can laugh. Right? But that's what the two coming together is what makes music. The heart is called the musical cord. It has both in it. There's three chemicals that come together that make a heartbeat. Make it spark, and it's perpetual. So everything is always going to have a three. Everything that we have, that's the revelation of God. But it's the two coming together that make the three. See, Jesus came to reveal the Father. That's what he came to do. Holy Spirit came to reveal righteousness, judgment, and sin, and to reveal all truth. All truth. We're going to reveal all truth. Well, when a woman gives life to the seed, she reveals all of the male and the female that came together. It comes out of her. When you put a seed into the soil, let's call the soil the womb. Let's call the soil the dark place. Let's call the soil that which is not seen. Let's call the soil that which is descended or abased or underneath or below or subsurface. Now you see how I have the same word, but a whole bunch of different dimensions of that word? That's where the seed goes. When the seed goes in there, we don't like dig it up every day and look at it. No, we let go of it. What do we let go of? The word, the seed, the form that holds the life, the form of things, the image of things, that which looks like something else. We stop bowing down to it. Why? Because by that time, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, and you don't make into yourself any carved image anymore. Why? Because it was a promise. It's the second one that we used to call commandments. Right? Command. The two man. What two? Male and female. When they come together, fruit happens. So then that seed dies. What is a seed? A form. The form has to die. If you want to live, you must die. Guess what you are? You're an image. You're a form. You need to die. To what? To your own understanding. Why? Because it don't work. Because it's control and manipulation. So what do? You trust the Lord your God with all of your heart. The unseen part. The part that you don't understand. The part you can't comprehend. Why? Because carnal things cannot discern spiritual things. That's why you let go of it. Emotions are spiritual. You can't understand them. Try. You can feel them. You can taste them, so to speak. You can hear them, but you can't discern it. So you might know what you feel, but your brain is going to automatically look for, why do I feel this way? God said, don't lean onto that. Trust me with your heart. Ask me why you feel this way. Right? And then I'll direct your path. Trust the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding of it, of your heart. Don't try to understand your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding of it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you all things. Why? Because he who seeks the heart gets the mind of the Holy Ghost. See? So when you seek your own heart, where's the kingdom of God? In your heart. Seek that, and you'll get the mind of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's what you need, because yours don't work. Kick yours out. This is how you should look at your own brain, as Noah nothing and I am not. Enoch and Noah. All this story about Enoch and Noah going on, I'm going to be like Enoch, I'm going to be like Noah, good. Be nothing and Noah nothing. That's what we need to be Enoch and Noah. Right? So when you be nothing and see nothing, then you recognize your best is as filthy rags. Without him I can do nothing, but in him I can do all things. And he's the sprout of the root of Jesse. What does that mean? Look at a sprout. A sprout is neither a seed nor a plant yet. It's the in-between part. What did I tell you in the beginning? The power's always in the in-between. The power's where the two become one. It's Always there. How do you get a sprout? You soak the seed in water. Why? So it'll get full and swell up, like under pressure. You ever felt under pressure? Okay. No. That's what you got to be under. You get under pressure, and then you got to go in the dark. Why? Because if you don't put seeds in the dark, they won't sprout. We've been running from the dark. You are the dark. You are the eve. You are the evening. And there was an evening and a morning, and there was the first day. And where the two come together, guess what that's called? Dawn. I hope this dawns on you, what I'm talking about. Why? Because it means to awaken. And when do you awaken? In the morning. Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
It's so fun.
You can speak faster than I can process.
You ain't supposed to be processing. Look, I have never been in my husband's garden and him throw a cucumber seed and a whole bunch of them, like, when he's doing that, and the ground go, wait a minute, you're putting too much seed in me too fast. I don't even know what kind that was. That's never happened. He actually has a seed thrower when he plants ryegrass, and he spins it. He wears it, and I've never heard the ground go, oh, no, I have no idea what's going to grow in me now. No, it just says, ah, seed, yes, I trust the farmer. Why? Because farmer means husband. What does soil mean? Wife. What does darkness mean? Wife. She's called Eve. Why? Because she's the mother of all living. There's a V right in the middle of her. Take that however you will. I call it void. You probably ought to call it something else. I can't help what you call it, but that's what's there. It's evening. God, void, God. That's where God wants to put his seed. Men are no different. Why? Because they're made in God's image. That's why they're no different. Women's made in God's image too. When a man says, just tell me what to say and I'll say it. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. She says, don't come near the mountain. Don't touch it, lest you die. See? We're made in God's image. God told the children of the wilderness the same thing. Just tell us what to do, Moses. We'll do it. That's what men say to women. And then we say, don't you touch me. Don't you come near me, lest you die. We might not say it with our mouth, but we say it with our eyeballs and our shoulder. Why? Because all we want is for you to know us intelligently in our heart. Intel. We want intel. We don't want this intel up here. We don't want intelligence. We want intelligence. Right? And look at the word where a man and woman consummate. It's to enter on the inside and have two courses come together. Figure that out. See? It's always the two. If you don't have two, you can't have all things possible. So man is the glory of God. You are a protector. You are a deliverer. You're the one who gives to us. You're all those things. That's why women mess up when we get married and think our husband's going to be our God and put all that weight on them. They can't be God, and then we think they're the ones screwed up. No, we're the ones that put God on their shoulders and said, now be my God. I did that to my husband, and then I couldn't figure out why he kept failing. Well, my goodness. I tried to make him my God. Of course he's going to fail. He's an image of it. That would be like me going to his picture on the counter and say, honey, are you going to work today? And the picture not move. I can't believe you're not doing what I asked you to do. No, because you're not God. You're an image of God. All right, woman, what is she? She's an image of man. She's the glory of man. She's going to reveal what mankind is. What is she? She's a receiver. She's all emotional. She's all about the heart. She doesn't want to get in your brain. She wants your heart, and you go, heck no, I ain't giving you that. When I was 5, somebody did this to my heart. When I was 7, somebody did that to my heart. When I was 14, somebody else did that to my heart. Ain't nobody getting in my heart. And if I give you some, it'll just be a little bit at a time. And when I can trust you, then I'll give you the rest. That's what a man does. And we go, but I want your whole heart. Give me your heart. You know why we say that? Because we can't give you part of our heart. That's why the first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why? We're made in God's image, and we want the all part. We want all of your heart. Why? Because we're receivers. Receivers want the whole enchilada. We don't want to just be half empty. We don't see that as half full. We see it as half empty. I want all, if you just give me a piece of your heart, it's not good enough. Wait a minute. You want all of my heart, and then you want me to only give me a piece of yours? And the husband says, no, I don't want all your heart. I just want all your body. We're like, what? That don't make any sense. Why? Because we can't give you our body without our heart. They come connected. You can't disconnect them. And if you do disconnect them, the woman will wax cold. And the man will think she's punishing him. That's, you know, you're giving me the cold shoulder. That's not what's happening. It's a woman's, she's not capable of giving you her body without her heart, without consequences. Consequences are going to follow because we are the soil. We are the heart. We become calloused and cold and hard, and we become independent, and I don't need you, and blah, blah, blah. Why? Because we've tried to give you our whole heart and you wouldn't take it, and so we tried to piecemeal ourselves to you, and that don't work, so we become your slave, and then we hate you that we became your slave. So that's the same thing we do with God. We try to give God our best. We want to do everything for God. We want to obey God. God says, no, just give me your heart, and there will your treasure be also. Love me with all your heart, and everything else will fall into being. So don't circumcise your flesh, circumcise your heart, and then everything else will be all right. God says, the kingdom of God's in your heart, and we keep getting in the head. No, that's a seed bank. That's why my head rattles when I shake it, right?
Yeah.
That's a seed bank. That's a head. That's where seed comes from. Look at anatomy. Figure it out. Heart's what receives seed. And God says, I want your heart. I want you to be a seed receiver. I don't want you to be a seed finder in the word book and then go quote it to get what you want from me. He rebuked them for that. He said, I am the living word, after he rebuked them. You search the scripture, for in them you think you find eternal life. I am eternal life. I'm the light of the world. You see? So when we get the word of the Lord, all he wants us to do is repeat what we heard. He doesn't want that scripture that says, don't be a hearer, only be a doer. That word doer means poet. It means one who recites what they heard. One who delivers what they've received. One who gives birth to the seed that I gave them. I can't have a baby from the seed my husband gave me on my wedding night. See, I'm not gonna just have the word of God and go, oh my goodness, here's a word of God about money. Let me go and hear about the word of God about money, and I'm gonna quote this over my family every day, and I'm gonna call those things as not as though they are so that I can have money. Well, how many years you been doing it? What about losing weight? Well, I'm just gonna go quote this scripture about, you know, I'll be in good health and blah, 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 blah. I'm gonna find that right scripture. I'm gonna quote that one. I'm gonna rebuke the devil and he's gonna flee and all blah. And you do that for 40 years. And you still, now you're 50 pounds overweight, not 40. And you do the same thing for smoking or drinking or sex addiction or workaholic or whatever. And it's still not working. Why? Because magic don't work. That's casting a spell. That's taking words and putting them in order and reciting them like abracadabra.
That's good.
No, God wants you to hear him inside of you on the intel. On the inside. There's a letter called ion. It's the seventh letter of the alphabet. It means I on the inside. Seven means rest. Seven has Eve right in the middle of it. Seven means the promised daughter of oath. It means the bride. It means the one who wakes up and enters into the rest of God. It means the one who remembers the Sabbath, Sabbath, and keeps it holy. What is holy? She's already whole. She knows who she is. She's not looking to an outside source to fill her. Why? Because that's called adultery. That's not called intimacy. That's adultery. The word of God comes from the inside of you. That's where it's at. It's not on the outside. Angel, you saying don't read the Bible? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you're a written epistle with the finger of God on the tablet of your heart. What did they do when they didn't have the New Testament? You think how was they going to get the word? Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. And you shall have no need of a teacher, but the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things. I had somebody tell me one time that they were taught you should trust the Holy Ghost more in others than the Holy Ghost in yourself. I said, oh my gosh. Throw that one as far as you can from yourself. I said, if I ever try to make you to be my follower, I said, kick me out of your life. Follow me as I follow Christ. But let me tell you something. Once you wake up, you don't need me to be your teacher, nor your guru, nor your Moses, nor your Savior, nor your deliverer. What you need is, I'm a part of your body. And we feed each other. But we're not each other's savior. There's only one of those. And I ain't it. You ain't it. We need to hear the word of God and then speak what we hear like a poet. Well, what does a poet do? A poet's going to say it. Anybody that writes poetry knows you are emotional when you write poetry. You don't write poetry like you count to 10. And if a poet counts to 10, it's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Why? Because he's a poet. That's why. He doesn't do it without expression. A mathematician is going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Why? That's a calculator. Calculation and mark is the same word. Is your brain calculating for you? Because that's the mark of the beast. Why? Beast means one who eats. Beast means one who protects. Beast is one who fights or flights. So if you're discerning the word of God to rescue yourself, that's a beast. That's what beasts do. But if you're discerning the word of God from the inside as a lover receiving the seed of her husband, that is relationship. That's the bride. That's not the mark of the beast. That's not a calculation. That's a consummation. That's a copulation, not a calculation. Calcification and calculation, they both dead. Copulation and intimacy, that ain't dead. If you have that dead at home, go to a counselor that knows Jesus and knows how to get you in your heart. Because without the heart, it's all dead. So the husband and the wife, the male and the female, are both here to reveal the glory of God. So what is the glory of God? God is the only giver. God is our protector. God is our provider. God is everything giving. He's Gimel. He's rich. He's the only good one. We are the receiver. We are dark. We know a nothing. I am not. Why? Because he is. And because he is, therefore I am. That's a bride. That's what this is all about. So this, to me, this is just the coolest thing. Why? Because I don't have to figure anything out anymore. I can just be. I can be what? The be one. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. Both. Why? Because he said he'd take out my heart of stone. He'd give me a heart of flesh. He'd fill it with his spirit. And I shall walk in his statutes. And I shall keep his commandments. That has nothing to do with my will.